You notice I have the earpiece on my ear this morning. It was so funny. I had it on correctly last Sunday morning at 8:30. But I noticed when I finished the 11 o'clock service and I walked out, oftentimes I'll take this off my ear and stick it in my pocket. I walked out and it was already in my pocket. Oh, well, let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, for bringing us together this day for your holy word from the book of James, for the opportunity to share in it and study it a little bit this day. Your word is majesty to us and power to us. It gives us guidance and direction. It gives us hope and peace, and it challenges us to be all that we can be in Jesus' name. May the words of my mouth and meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, if you were standing at the corner of 14th Street Northwest in Washington, D.C. a couple of summers ago, you might have heard a sound that would make even the most streetwise city dwellers slow down from their frantic pace and even lower for a moment that cafe mocha they were sipping on their way to work, because what they heard astounded them. It was a positive sound, an unusual sound for many of them, a positive sound of compliment. And people were taken back by it. A chime cuts through the noise, and people passing by hear such things as, "Oh, you create a brighter future all around you. You leave things better than you find them. You're on a quest for knowledge," or people are drawn in by your positive energy. Oh, people were just moved by what they heard. They stopped in their tracks to hear a compliment and words of encouragement. And the words were recorded words, coming from a bright red and white striped box placed on a platform of bricks with a speaker at eye level. And a small sign reads very clearly, "The Compliment Machine." And the machine had kind words for everybody who walked by. There were about 100 different messages placed in the machine, and whenever you walked by, you would hear one of them. This was not a government project. Your taxpayer money did not go into funding this whole thing. It was the brainchild of Tom Greaves, who was a local visual artist, and his exhibit was part of a featured collection that was found along 14th Street in Washington, D.C. during one summer. And he writes this as he talks about his project. He was moved by it because the people were so moved by it. He says, "On the one hand, I think there are a lot of gratuitous praise and awards and trophies heaped upon people for barely showing up." He must work for the government. But on the other side, he says, on the other side of that coin is the real human need for assurance and reassurance and to be complimented. The real human need to be complimented. Let's be honest, when we slow down and take the time to listen to the positive words that come in our direction, they can have a dramatic and sometimes life-changing effect on us. One small word, one small compliment to lift us up, to send us on, to send us out, can change our whole lives. I recall the story, a wonderful, wonderful story of Willie Mays. Some of you remember Willie Mays. Hall of Famer, great, great baseball player. Well, it was a disappointing start for him when he went to the major leagues. In his first 26 times at bat, he had one hit. That's sort of how I played ball back in the old days. Only one hit. Eventually, the disappointment got to Mays, and he was sitting in the dugout one day, and the great Willie Mays started to cry. Well, he thought no one was around, and his manager, Leo DeRocher, however, saw him. A great, great manager. He walked over and sat down by him and put his arms around Willie Mays. He said, "Son, what in the world's the matter with you? What's going on?" "I can't hit here," Mays said. "I just can't hit up here at all. I belong in the minor leagues." DeRocher replied very simply. It's sort of like a Fisher DeBerry statement. One of those simple statements. "As long as I'm the manager of the Giants, you'll be my center fielder." Wow. He was taken back by it. "Long as I'm the manager here, you're going to be my center fielder. Any other questions you have for today?" Willie Mays said later, that simple act of praise turned his hitting career around completely. And the rest is baseball history. One little compliment, one little phrase that gave him encouragement and hope. "As long as I'm here, you're number one in my book. You go, I go." In the everyday world in which we live in, we are often reminded, unfortunately, that we are too poor, too heavy, too unfit, too unattractive, and we leave an awful carbon footprint on the world. We need to turn our thermostats up in the summer and down in the winter. Conserve water, don't smoke, drink soft drinks, or use plastic bottles, and recycle, recycle, recycle. We constantly hear the words mismanagement and fraud and murder and drunken drivers and gangs and depression and recession. And eat five, I repeat, eat five helpings of fruits and vegetables every day or you will rot before your time. This is the kind of world in which we live. I just want somebody to say, "Wow, you look good today. You're excited about life. God must be good." That's what we're looking for, a compliment. I don't know how many of you can stand listening to talk radio very much on any given day. Some people are tuned to that stuff from 6 o'clock in the morning until midnight. Listen to any one of them. And I'm not saying their arguments are all wrong, but you can only take so much negativism in one day before you start thinking negative yourself. There is no future. There is no tomorrow. Life is not only going to hell in a handbasket, but so are we. And in the midst of all this negativism, we need to hear a positive word of someone who can give us the ultimate good news about the world and ourselves. Somebody who just say, "You're really a great person. Thanks for cutting the grass today. Love that tie you have on. Boy, that was a great meal, Mom. I love the way you make scrapple." We look for and we need a compliment, an affirmation that will encourage us and make us whole and make us individually and collectively be the kind of person, the kind of people we really want to be. And so we turn to the letter of James, a pithy, practical set of instructions, easy to read but hard to digest, that encourages its readers to get about the business of living the faith. The book carries the name of Jesus' brother, James, written in sterling Greek. An interesting letter. And the Message translation gives us these words. "My very dear friends, don't get thrown off course. Every desirable and beneficial gift comes out of heaven. The gifts are rivers of light cascading down from the Father of light. And he brought us to life using the true word, showing us off as the crown of all his creatures. Wow! That's a pretty solid statement. And it all begins in the book of Genesis. And God created, oh, he created everything. God created barracuda and snails. God created giraffes and hippos. God created elm trees and shrubs. God created carrots and lima beans. God created all of this stuff. And then God said, I am going to create something unlike anything else that ever existed before and up until now. And God created human beings, and he created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. And he created them male and female. And God blessed them. Prosper, he said. Prosper and reproduce. Well, we did that. Fill the earth. Take charge. Be responsible for the fish in the seas and the birds in the air and for every living thing that moves over the face of the earth. And God looked over everything he made, everything. And he said, oh, this is so good. It is so good. I'm going to take the day off and go to Starbucks, have a cup of coffee. This is the best I've ever thought about. It is so good. Right from the beginning, God established a relationship with us. Wow. John, the 15th chapter, brings that so well and clearly in focus. As Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Whoa. I chose you. I don't know what that does to you, but it just invigorates me. I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. The Creator God has always sought a relationship with us. And God continues to desire that relationship. What? In spite of my unworthiness, in spite of my sinfulness, in spite of my depression, in spite of my disappointments, in spite of my disillusionment, God chose me. That's the good news of Jesus Christ for us. You did not choose God first. God chose you first. And he didn't ask anything about you, either your height or your weight. He didn't ask whether you were black or white, Chinese or African. He chose you. The ultimate compliment we can receive from the divine is so beautifully defined in Jesus Christ, who came to give us life and give it abundantly. We didn't deserve it, but God gave it. It's a compliment we need to hear again and again. And James says, let everyone be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to anger. In other words, we must weed out the negative messages that bombard us and focus on that word of truth that God has planted in us. And that word has the power, says James, to save our souls. That's the positive word. That's the compliment that will save us. I tried to find some way to put this graphically so we could take a look at what it means to be chosen, to be selected by God. I didn't know how to do that. I wanted to put a picture of God up here and then a picture of you. I couldn't find a good picture of God to use. So I went to some of God's creatures to sort of demonstrate to us what it means to be selected and complimented and loved. Just take a close look at a couple of these. That spoke to me. Yeah, isn't that sweet? That's a blueberry. And look at this. I chose you. I'm there. Wow. The next picture, the giraffe eats that little creature. Oh, and look at this one. Isn't this so great? And this is the most precious of all. Look very closely at this. Isn't that just an amazing, amazing picture? I chose you. Wow. Can you get over that? Doesn't it make the chills go through your body? I chose you. I chose you. I chose you. You didn't have to do anything. I chose you. That's what it's all about. But James takes us one step further. He reminds us that when we hear the complimentary and convincing word of God from the pages of Scripture, it's not designed for temporary effect or entertainment. He said, I love the way James puts it. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but. Letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Act on what you hear. And those who hear and don't act, like those who glance in a mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later, they have no idea who they are or what they look like. Don't just come to church and take in the word like you're looking at a mirror. Be transformed. He hits home when he says, be doers of the word and not merely hearers. The greatest compliment that God paid us was when he chose us. And the greatest compliment we pay God is when we get off our seats and work for him. Don't be just hearers. Real religion, says the Message translation, real religion, that kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this: reach out to the homeless and loveless in their plight and guard against corruption from the godless world. The homeless and the loveless in their plight. That's a call. Rethink, church, who are we as we look toward the future, as we bask in God's greatest compliment? How do we return the favor? And James says, get up, get moving, and take that word to the world. John Maxwell concludes his wonderful little book, as I conclude this message. Wonderful little book, Be All That You Can Be, with a story Methodists should love. Writes Maxwell these words: I was reading recently about John Wesley, smart individual, about John Wesley, a favorite hero of mine. He was writing a letter of encouragement to a fellow named George, who was leaving England to evangelize the new frontier. And he wrote this: Dear George, the time has come for you to embark for America. I let you loose. Sort of like what you would think Jesus would do when he was attacking a demon in someone. I let you loose. George, on that great continent of America, publish your message in the open face of the sun and do all the good you can. You and I have been chosen and freed and loved. And now in Jesus Christ, we are set loose in the open face of the sun to do all the good we can. How great is God to love us and to challenge us. Amen.